Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
That's not how we're going to begin each show.
We're going to get it out of our system, y'all. We promise. Just gonna be a bit.
These are our new sound effects that we've found.
They are
delightful.
They are
wonderful. How do you decide which to add? How can you replace them? Like add a file, add just a sound file.
It's in a book, and I think I threw that away.
I'm sure you can look online. I throw away all my instruction manuals.
You can
not like I read them anyway.
You never did. You can find them online now anyway.
Come at me if you don't read instructions.
The problem is, y'all, he threw away the instruction manual to Poodle.
I never had one. That was the problem.
That's what he needs.
I need an instruction manual
to
handle me.
You need an instruction manual.
Oh, boy. And you know what? You need to come up with, you need to know what I need before I ask for it.
Can you read my mind?
No, you can't because I'm fucking crazy.
You know, I don't think it's that she's crazy.
She's not crazy. She is.
She has a sabotage streak in her, like Kyle said.
She's terrified.
Exactly.
She's terrified of
being vulnerable.
Of being vulnerable and being in the present.
Yep.
And terrified of not being safe.
Yep.
She is living her life in fear. And Poodle, what two ways can you live your life?
You can live your life in love or in fear, as Oprah says.
There you go.
Y'all, this is reality gaze. This is summer house.
Summer house.
Now, this is called.
Look at me! I ran into a glass table, and it's going to leave a bruise on my leg.
Riveting. yet another thing that I couldn't get two shits about. Y'all, this episode's called Best Frenemies. This is episode 5, Summer House, season 5, episode 5.
Yep.
Are there any announcements? I don't think so.
We just want to remind people it's still March Madness Review of
March
Palooza.
Madness Review of Palooza.
If you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts until March 28th, we're going to be picking. I just sent Poodle one last night that made me. I might frame it for on days that I just feel bad about myself.
Not what this whole thing is for, to make you feel good about yourself, though.
Oh, you know, but it's still a night. But they leave a 5-star review, and the funniest,
most touching, slash best, or one that just makes us go, things that make you go,
5-star review, and we're going to pick 5 of those for the month of March, and those people are going to get a year's worth of our
Supercast.
That's
our new premium
tier.
Content, our new premium platform, because we have Patreon, but we also have Supercast, and you get to be a super sissy.
And so we're calling it all, we're putting it all under the umbrella of Reality Gaze Extra.
Extra.
And so, you know why?
Extra, just look at this headlines.
Historical news is being made. Da, da, da. Extra. We're drawing the red line from da, to the stage.
Yeah.
A barrel. I got to sing it all
I
now.
I can't believe you know
a barrel
this.
Of heaps. A something to deal. The biggest little something in vaudeville. Presenting
Dainty June.
No, presenting. Introducing.
Yeah, introducing.
That barrel of whores that fucked every football player in town, Dainty Poodle.
Let me entertain you. Let me make you smile.
Don't pull over.
But I can do some new tricks. I'm very versatile.
Actually, she's not. She's a bottom. And that song is...
I'm very versatile in my 20s.
In my 20s. When I was 16 and I could hold an erection for nothing. But if you're real good, I'll make you feel good. I want your spirits to climb.
Like your dick.
Like your dick, so you can fuck me.
So let me entertain you. And we'll have a really good time.
Oh, yes.
And we'll have a really good time.
Fuck me. Wow.
That's from Gypsy. That was Gypsy. That went on longer than it should have.
You know, if there was any...
Or maybe it went on just
for us. I think it went on just right. If there's any musical that I would want to inhabit a role as a man and just play almost all the female characters, it probably would be Gypsy.
I think I've already done that in my mind several times. Cut Herbie. Cut the actual one male. But I would play the dad. I could play the dad. Yeah, not Herbie.
Yeah, not Herbie.
Yeah.
And I would like to play Tulsa.
I'd play Tulsa, but I'd also like to bang Tulsa.
Yeah. Especially Tulsa from the Bette Midler version.
Ooh. He was fine.
Whoa. That's my favorite version.
That's the only version most of us have seen. I saw it on Broadway.
On Bette Midler?
Bernadette Peters.
Oh, I've never seen it on Broadway.
She was an interesting Mama Rose.
You didn't like her, but what's his name? Not Sondheim, but the other person who wrote Gypsy.
Arthur Lawrence.
Because he, I think, was alive at that time, right?
Yeah.
He said that she...
That old queen was just trying to blow smoke up her ass.
She said that Bernadette Peters was the most kind of what he imagined Mama Rose to be.
And guess, but historically, that's not true.
But I think that's interesting that...
Supposedly, Tyne Daly was the one. Tyne Daly and Angela Lansbury are the ones that people talk about being unbelievable.
I would love to.
This is so gay.
This is really gay. Someone's like, "Wait, what are we talking about, Summer House?"
I didn't know I was listening to gayest pod ever.
If Paige was here, she would say, "You just said a bunch of names of people I don't know."
It's a good Paige.
I bet actually she sees theater, honestly. She lives in New York.
I think Paige is still my favorite person to watch behave in Summer House.
Give me the Paige show. Yep. I'm here for it. So y'all,
Best Frenemies.
Best Frenemies.
Basically we're still kind of reeling. You guys, and this is an interesting, and I want to get you guys info, maybe in our Sissy Squad or let us know on socials. Has this show handled such a dark topic before? I just don't think this show and the premise of this show, how frothy it is, frothy like a lover boy.
Like an uncut dick.
Yeah.
Ready.
I don't think the premise, it can't hold it together. The show can't hold itself together to do something that's so heavy. That's why
I don't think it planned to do that.
No,
but
to edit this show together felt to me
both, to make it a main plot line,
both a fool's errand, and it's not that I don't think it should have been included. It's just where the things that it was included with, and I don't know. Yes, you obviously have to include Lindsay's birthday, because that's the day his brother passed.
But I felt like the Carl's and his, but maybe a lot of people got a lot from it.
That's
so.
What I'm going to say. Maybe, but I just don't know.
I thought it would have been the first 5 minutes and Carl would leave.
Yeah, me too. And I don't know if the show has enough gravitas, the premise of the show, to handle it. Because everything after that felt like, this feels weird.
It's kind of like Hannah said, I woke up today prepared to fight, and now I'm like, none of that fucking matters. And then she decided she was okay.
But no, it's like what the show has been set up to be will collapse under something as crushing like this. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of when late night comedy shows were after 9/11. What do you talk about?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not comparing, obviously, the death of Carl's brother to 9/11, but the similar idea of premises for the show that were always light. It's all about some stupid fight, and especially this season when there's nothing to do but obsess over stupid fights and weird little dynamics. Then something like that happens, and then it turns a magnifying glass on how even stupider these arguments are. So honestly, after Carl left, it was hard for me to pay attention. I was like, had whiplash.
I can see that, yeah.
And like I say, I don't know how I would have handled this, because the editor, you have to add it. I do think it went on a little bit too long. Like every housemate had to go up to Carl and say and participate in mourning with him, which, yes, that would happen normally, but damn, it felt like either to me it's almost like we do the whole episode for it, so it gives Carl one whole episode where we see how much that had to go. Like the cameras follow him to the funeral.
Yeah.
That's the whole episode. And then it can be after. I don't think these storylines can coexist in the same episode.
Well, they did.
I know, and it was like dissonance for me. I know. Look at me. I'm like, I don't really approve of the production, how it was done.
Y'all, I feel like I'm in
Queen's
like
always got a problem.
A stuffy living room, like a student who's been asked to go to a professor's house with 10 other, and we just listen to him go on.
Can we talk about Henry James, please?
But no, I agree with you.
These tones, even if it's a reality show, you can't go back. I just kind of felt myself tuning out.
I think this show is, reality shows do that, but this show's not the real world.
No, that's exactly what I wrote. This is not the real world.
It's Summer House.
Right.
So even the name is going to tell you it's fun and frivolity.
Yep.
And that's not
what we got. This was, not that I don't think they shouldn't have shown Carl, and I cried. I actually cried. Watching, not because of Carl, watching his housemates who care about him crying and getting upset.
Well, what I thought was interesting just was I think it's so telling how if you don't know someone in your family that is struggling with addiction, you just probably don't know everybody in your family well.
Totally agree.
And at the through line of this, of the other housemates that had experienced this in their own.
Yeah. And that was great. That was the first 25 minutes of the episode.
It was weird how it switched. It was weird.
And that's what I say, tonally, and I don't know if this is a winnable thing. The only way I thought to do it is show him, I don't know how comfortable his family would be being filmed for something like
probably
that.
Probably not.
But I don't know. I just felt like, I think maybe the editors and the producers are kind of at a real impasse here.
I mean,
they only have,
do?
What, 14 episodes?
Yeah, they're already, like, they've got to shoot what they've got to shoot in this house.
Yeah. I just think, boy.
And they did the best they could, but it was weird.
I don't want to belabor it too much. Everyone is trying to kind of help him. Basically, we find a little bit of history is, we find out from last week, we found his brother. He gets a call. His brother has passed. Everyone's very upset for him. Everyone's crying. We found out he's been sober for a year.
Yeah.
And he actually relapsed last month, and people really didn't know a lot about it.
I don't know how much, but that happens a lot, because what happens is, from my limited understanding, people will get sober, and then they will stop using the drugs, and then when they relapse, they often will use the drugs, the amount of drugs that
they used
before.
To. Yeah, and they don't have a built.
They don't have a built-in tolerance.
Yeah, tolerance for it.
And it just it
makes
it
sense.
Kills them. So that honestly happens a lot, and it's heartbreaking because when somebody's had a year of sobriety, you're thinking
you're only on the up and up
on that long. Like you probably, his mother probably just started to settle in,
mm-hmm.
and like. Okay, my boy's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with addiction, y'all. It truly is a day-by-day thing. You don't have to subscribe to AA, but you can have a year. You can have 10 years in relapse. You
right.
just never fucking know.
Well, I have a first cousin who was sober for... She was doing drugs. Then she was sober for a year. We were so excited. We saw her at Christmas, and she mm-hmm. was great. Then we saw her next time. She was thin. And, of course, it was like, oh, all right. And then she got sober again. And then she went to jail. So, yeah, it's just kind of like for a while, there were certain members, especially in my dad's family, who were just – they were almost done because every time they would engage – they would engage, they would feel good, and they just had to get off the roller coaster
that's,
for a
again,
while.
I've said it before, that's why I couldn't realize I could not do drug counseling.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I got out of it, because I just couldn't deal with
it. Couldn't take the up and down the ride mm-hmm. that was... Yeah.
It's a lot.
No, I hear you.
It's a lot. So, Kyle said one of the best things to Carl that I thought for y'all watching, that you're like, what would I say to my friend or something... I love that Kyle said you did everything you could.
Yeah, that's what people need to hear.
It's very important to reassure people that they couldn't have done any more. Although Jake probably would have said to me, when's the last time you called him?
I would not have.
I wouldn't.
You sure? I would have jumped in and like, well.
You didn't really go see him for a long time. No, but. And Carl also, which is kind of heartbreaking, Carl mentions this later, that his brother was talking about him. They hadn't
yeah.
really reconciled it.
That's when I actually cried.
That was very
yeah.
sad. It was very sad, the what if.
I was on the verge of tears the whole time. Uh-huh. And I don't know what happened. Seeing these people be upset about their friend made me very emotional. The whole time.
Ironically, who made me a little emotional was because, y'all, Lindsay's having the worst birthday ever. I mean, you feel for her.
Yes, because you do. But her birthdayversary is the day that Carl's brother dies.
That's horrible for her. And I actually, it's kind of changed later on, but I actually was impressed. How she and was touched, how she kind of just wasn't even in her own birthday.
Yeah.
Y'all, this is Lindsay, someone who's very much about Lindsay.
Yeah.
Was just like, I'm just not into this.
She lives in Lindsay world. However, that didn't really stop by the end of the night. We definitely got past that. Yep. First class ticket back to Lindsay world, quick.
Yeah.
Choo choo. What sandwiches have you made for me?
What? I mean,
so.
I'm sorry. As we talk, you know what? We didn't talk about this. Let's talk about all of the Carl stuff now, and then just kind of.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
That's actually where I was going. So he, a lot of the other cast is talking about their connections, like Danielle's father passed from addiction issues. Luke has his father and his family, so and I'm sure the other cast members probably did as well. The most interesting thing was Sierra going to Carl and saying, you know, this sucks. And I barely know you, but I've seen a lot of death and it's hard.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm trying to think what she said to him.
She said,
he's safe. He is safe. And
Kyle and Sierra said the best things to him.
Right. He's safe and he'll give you,
cause Sierra is,
he'll give you great. Signs.
She's a Christian.
Yeah.
So, and her saying, like, he's up, he's watching you, he'll give you signs. I thought that was a beautiful thing
yeah.
to say.
And she was, this, it's ironic, and sometimes this is true with grief, the people who don't know you best sometimes, or the people who can say the best things to you. It's kind of like what I have with my clients. A lot of times they have people in their lives, but they can tell me, and they do, the most intimate details because they know me, but I'm not necessarily their friend. No. But I can definitely...
And that's a perfect explanation of why talking to a therapist often is a great thing, y'all.
Exactly. Someone who is...
A life coach.
Who has no agenda for them.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, Sierra was great. I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
I mean, basically everybody else was just kind of like,
yeah,
how can we support you? I feel like sometimes when people say, how can we support you? That's a beautiful thing to say, but then at the same time,
it's also asking a lot of the person who's like, just experienced something.
You know, sometimes they don't really ask that. You just need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to sit with them.
Right.
Because, y'all, we don't in this society especially. That's why I love things like in the Jewish tradition of like Shiva.
Shiva.
You sit for like a week, mm-hmm, and like you sit on the floor.
Mourning is uncomfortable for people. Yeah.
We don't sit in each other's grief. And I think that's really what somebody who's in this situation, if you have someone that's going, they just want someone that's going to sit in their grief with them and not try to talk them out of grief, not try to make them feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit in it. Let them cry.
Yep.
Let them tell the stories. Just sit in it.
Yeah. Oftentimes, I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, when, especially in evangelical circles, sometimes you'll hear, well, he's with Jesus now, so we should be grateful, and or something like that. That don't negate your own loss.
Yeah.
Take on your loss.
Yes.
So if someone passes that is very special to you, and you have someone saying, it's best just to move on. Why get depressed about things? You need that to process. You need that to move on. Otherwise, you'll never get past it.
Yeah. Agree.
I remember someone saying to my mother when my grandmother died, in literally the receiving line, and we were all there, and she said, "Well, we're going to miss her. She's in a much better place now, or something like that, and she's not suffering anymore." And my mother just snapped and said, that doesn't make me feel good at all. It was so... So even y'all mother poodle went, caw!
Y'all really are the same person.
I would probably say something like that to someone if they said that about my mother. It's just... Trust me, y'all. Saying they're in a better place and we should be, or something like we should be rejoicing today or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what someone needs to hear, even if they smile. It's got to be your process. That's like lizard brain shit, y'all. You can't deny yourself from grieving. That's fundamental human stuff.
Doesn't matter
what religion you are. So remember that when you're in the receiving line.
You can talk about people walking on streets of gold and all. That's great. And that's great to talk about.
Maybe after.
But give it a little it a little time to experience the acceptance.
Not at the funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's when a lot of people but in another case too, for some people that's also not, everybody grieves their own way, and that's just not helpful for us.
Yeah.
I have been to funerals where people in the receiving line, the only thing that makes them feel better is thinking about like their son walking with Christ.
Yeah, I get it, but that's also a little bit of magical thinking, because the dirty stuff's going to come back. It's going to hit you.
Well,
now I have been to funerals,
yeah, but it's not magical thinking to them.
No, I agree, but I'm saying, if you don't get it out, it will eat you alive.
Yep. Oh, I agree.
That's what I'm talking about, magical thinking.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But I have been to funerals where people tell jokes, and that's a different kind of celebrating.
Best funeral I went to was Patty Johnstone, but I don't think you were at UNT yet. But she's a voice teacher who died, and people just stood up, and We were there for like an hour, and different people just told stories about Patty, and I learned a lot more about her than I knew.
Yeah.
And I was there basically for my friends, and then when I left, I felt like I like had a part of her to think
about. You shared in her memory, and like in the Jewish tradition of may their memory be a blessing. Yeah. Shahayanu.
I wonder what Poodle's funeral will be like. Do you think can't you just see me off?
I'm gonna curate it down to the letter.
Would anyone like to speak?
Oh, I don't think you'll be around.
Yeah, Poodle thinks living longer than me, probably. It's all the alcohol. He's just petrified.
It pickles me.
But I think imagine.
I'll cut you out of my life at that point.
That's true. Who would like to speak first? Well, my name is Armando, and I fucked Poodle in 2011, and I remember he put his hands over my face and said, "Don't look at me, don't look at me." And to this day, I don't like looking at people when I'm pummeling them. And God, I'm going to miss him.
Don't look me in the eye.
My name is Marlon, and I fucked Poodle in 2002. And then in 2008, he forgot he fucked me before, so I fucked him then. And
that's actually happened. I'm not proud of it. That's happened. I've completely forgotten people. It's sad, actually. That's why everything I now document everything on my hookup apps. Exactly. You got to document.
You document, and then cut to 5 hours later. Yeah, my name's Rick. I was the last person to fuck Poodle. And as everybody knows, that's why we're here.
He said, I'm, and then said no more. Y'all, that's the way to go out. That's the way you go out.
It kind of is true.
With a 10-inch dick ramming ya.
I think I just perfectly described your funeral. And then Rick will finish, and then we all will hear the organ, and then just as
I will not have that played. No, we'll do like a carnival conga line. No, my funeral has to be joyful. Has to be.
I think it will be.
It has to be people getting together, because I would never want that.
No.
I did for my coma party, when they wanted to do like a tribute for me. Can I come back? I did a roast. So people roasted me, and I loved it.
It was fun.
And some people said things that made me cry.
Elise made you sob.
I sobbed. I need to call her about something.
Poodle's going through his tattoo.
Well, you already talked about the bruise on your leg. Let's get into this episode. So we're really going off of it.
That's kind of enough of Carl. He ends up leaving because he wants to go back with his mom. So let's. Yeah.
I was like, why are you still there?
One thing, it wasn't your right. There wasn't the right show, but it does. We don't see a lot of this on television of how people behave in this immediate grief.
I totally agree.
And it's good to see, I think.
And I totally agree with
but
you.
It's wrong
it's
show.
It's just the tone right
show.
After it.
I agree.
It's like then we're supposed to be involved in this like stupid palace intrigue with these people.
It made me
sad, actually.
Meanwhile, Hannah and Luke totally still are flirting with one another.
Yeah.
And it's annoying. And
I think that's how he relates to women.
I guess, but they're playing tennis, and you can even Hannah's like, I don't know if we can be just friends, but that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I'll be honest, the last three episodes, I'm like, honey, stay in your lane. I don't know.
Hannah's going through something.
I think she's acting for the cameras, I feel like. I think a lot of this is bigger, and I think
she's engaged now.
Yeah.
And
she's engaged now, it's official. Yeah.
And she's been dating her fiance for 8 months, right?
Which means she was
Were they for sure filming? Or is
I
it
think
right
while
after?
They were filming. I think he met him she met him right before they started filming. So I'm sure they were talking.
But it wasn't like,
yeah,
maybe
I don't know. I don't know. I know he did visit the house. He was allowed.
I think he is coming because they're having an episode.
I don't know. I don't know if we're going to see him.
Well.
So then there's really something interesting. Hannah and Luke are talking about Sierra, and I'm like, well, that you've gone very far now. And Kyle is still, we're reeling after Glassgate.
When Amanda threw a plastic glass at Hannah.
The fact that we have to talk about this like it's a huge fucking deal makes me want to ram my head against the wall when someone's brother just died of a drug overdose. That's what I'm saying.
But I'm sure the producers are telling them, like, they're getting paid to do this. This is their job.
I'm aware. I'm saying, as an observer,
I put it more on the producers and the editors rather than the castmates, because what are they supposed to
do? I'm not putting it on the cast members.
I'm more upset that their stove and their oven still don't work.
Right?
What the fuck?
You gotta call your landlord for that.
This is episode 5. Go to Best Buy or Sears and get a new fucking stove.
Agreed.
I don't understand it.
100%.
The air is on, y'all. He's Katy Perry today. He's hot and he's cold.
I am hot and cold. I am yes and I'm no. I am in or I'm out.
He can't get comfortable.
I am both wrong
or
and right.
Poodle says comfortable.
Comfortable. What do you say?
What do I say? Comfortable.
I say comfortable.
Comfortable.
Most people say comfortable.
Comfortable.
Three syllables.
I say comfortable.
Right? Sometimes I say, I can't get comfortable. But I do say comfortable. Oh, God. I'm so preening.
I wonder how's the way you're supposed to say it, or can you do either one?
I don't know. I think comfortable. I think it's either one. Who cares?
That's true. Who cares?
No one gives a shit.
No one gives a shit.
Luke is actually calling the florist to order lilies for
lilies.
So he's ordering lilies for Sierra, and he also, because it's Lindsay's birthday, he gets her flowers. Now, if you're going to buy two women in one house flowers and say fuck you to the other five or the other three.
Maybe the one you just made up with, maybe send her like a I'm sorry flowers.
I'm sorry.
So sorry.
This was so stupid.
It was weird. Just send flowers to
I also have to say... Yeah. Don't send lilies unless they're someone's favorite. Maybe that's her favorite flower. There, to me, lilies means someone's dead.
Really?
And someone is dead.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess that is. Oh, I know nothing about flowers.
Which is surprising because it's definitely in the homosexual arts.
It's true, but I don't.
Well, you know that, like, and also, it's like carnations. Carnations, don't ever send anyone carnations. They're
who
awful.
Says carnations?
Well, you do know that. Yeah.
Who would do that?
And roses.
Maybe like sending
roses
mums.
Are something like love or at least amorousness. But there's so many flowers out there, you guys, you can send. Lilies just. Ugh.
Unless you're in a small town, there's not a lot to pick from.
Yeah, that's true. Ardmore probably. Well, we only got lilies left. It's just good enough for Mama Mar.
I don't know if they have lily. They definitely have yellow roses. That's what Mama Mar likes.
So basically, Lindsay's Aunt Rhonda must be a thing. I haven't watched it, but because her mom, she doesn't have Lindsay's mom left her really young. That was one previous episode.
So Aunt Rhonda calls her and. Basically, he's like, ooh, and Lindsay's answering her phone. She's like, ooh, what are you doing for your birthday, Lindsay? She's like, well, I don't know yet. Steven's actually just now here telling me, ooh, I want to know what it is.
Yeah.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
So she's like, she's expecting a grand gesture, y'all. This is the Anna birthday or birthiversary,
well,
as we called it.
As, where is it? Because she's, I want to say... Oh, man, Paige said it so well where she basically said, this is jumping forward a little bit, but she basically said, Steven is a fucking event planner, and if he doesn't know...
Hospitality, yep.
Hospitality, and if he doesn't know that his girlfriend wants to be treated to the nines on his birthday, then he's going to have a rough fucking night.
And he does.
And he does.
So she was talking to Danielle a while about, she's extract, and she's like, during COVID, she's expecting a grand gesture. And I've just got to say, what does she, because they really can't leave, what does she expect? Does she expect maybe skywriting? Or
I don't know.
Or the Harlem Boys Choir to sing her in masks?
I think she expects like a big event and involving all the other house guests. And they're, think about what they do for Kyle's birthday.
That was adorable. But that was the brainchild of Amanda. And Amanda is creative like that.
And what Lindsay's going to get upset about later is that, y'all,
men are rarely creative like that.
Lindsay is
straight
not,
men especially.
Lindsay is not subtle. She has given Stephen clues. She has given him clues.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've just got to say that Lindsay definitely sabotaged this, and Stephen knows what Stephen knew what he was what was, I think was going to happen. Or maybe he didn't.
So let's talk about, let's just kind of finish their arc then, since we're talking about that. And then we're going more about characters and characters instead of plot point by plot point today.
Sorry.
But you know what? That reminds me.
We take a commercial.
We're going to take a commercial. We'll be right back.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment.
Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC.
Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist? About me.
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Manny, this reminds me. You know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreaux!
They said next time it would be a $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cup my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that it would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men!
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze. So they're at dinner, y'all.
This is a night, it's a beautiful night,
and she walks out and they call it, what the fuck is this shit? Okay, I am not good at setting the table.
Yeah.
I'm horrible at it.
It actually...
This was gross.
It was sad.
It was
not a good tablescape, as Ina Garten said. No, who says tablescapes? Does Sandra Lee say tablescape?
I think she does.
Y'all, you need to watch some old Sandra Lee videos, because they cuckoo.
Cuckoo. But I've heard that she loves her gays.
Oh, I'm sure. There's a lot of things with her just pouring vodka into things. There's something, too, with
her. She does not have to cook.
Y'all, look up when she made a Kwanzaa cake. It is one of the biggest monstrosities that you'll ever
see.
Yeah.
She also, the lighting on that show.
It's white.
It's, well, but
so white.
They always do it a theme, so it's all like monochromatic.
Yeah, it's all
and
blown
it's
out.
So blown out. It's like RuPaul Drag Race lighting. Oh.
She is the RuPaul of the cooking of the Food Network.
She is. I'm sure gay men love her.
They do, I'm sure. She does like to drink.
So
you know who she used to be married to?
Who?
Cuomo.
Oh, she did?
Mm-hmm. Or maybe she was his girlfriend. I'm not sure.
He's having a...
He's not having a great moment. He's having a terrible moment.
A terrible moment.
Yeah. I think they found out some really even worse stuff about nursing home reporting. So, I don't know. I'm not here to break your news.
Yeah. Y'all don't... We are saying don't pull over, though, because I can hear him.
Yeah.
So, I was imagining, y'all, he is involving practically, except for Carl and Kyle, everyone in this fucking house is helping him plan this birthday thing for Lindsay. So I'm imagining, like, something big. How many fucking scenes do we see of Danny helping Steven, and then Sierra helping Steven, and then a man? And I was like, oh, wow, this is going to be some big thing. And when we walk out and see just this patio table with a fucking shitty tablecloth on it, the food's not even in platters. It's in fucking plastic.
It's in plastic.
Y'all, this is the saddest thing for a birth.
Now, I keep giving him a break because it was COVID. But look what, and I think it's just Steven is not very resourceful.
Yes.
He's just not.
This is already by, so this is.
They're not a match, you guys.
They're not
I don't know if anybody's noticed that.
Shocker.
They are not a match. She needs someone who fucking worships her and adores her. And there's that guy out there,
I'm sure.
There's some guys out there who will do that for her.
She also, y'all, this show was filmed, though, in the summer.
Yeah.
And this is, by now, businesses had already adapted to, like, do things for, like, even if, like, those sign companies that will come and put, like, happy birthday in your yard. Like, that was already starting to happen.
I think, though, he thought he was going to get her with a kind of thing that was a more sentimental, because this was the restaurant they went to when he asked her to be his.
That's not Lindsay.
I agree. That is him.
And that it's like, I think that's what Danny or Paige is saying. He has no, y'all, he hasn't been listening to Lindsay.
No, he hasn't.
I'll tell you, you know what they're good at? Fucking. And that's it.
That's
where they connect. I
agree.
It's crude, but I think that's where they connect.
What do you, I think, so he does get her. What do you think of her dress?
It's her, and I wouldn't say this on another woman. It's just because I know Lindsay. Her dress is saying, look at me, I'm special.
And she keeps talking about it. If
she just wore it,
yes,
but the dress is wearing.
She has
the
to dress keep is we- talking about it.
It's wearing her.
And if she's so worried, there's got to be some, like, double-sided tape there to put on your boobies. If she's so worried about it.
And why worry? You've got great boobs.
Yeah, I don't think anyone in the house would care.
Nobody gives a fuck.
It's just like, and to me, the proportions weren't right. Like, you could see the part of the boobs that was more suggestive. But then, at one point, you could kind of see it, and it was like, you have to kind of crane your neck to see the rest of the boob.
I thought the dress was fine. I just thought it wore her.
I think she was trying to make a big statement.
And bless his heart, because someone who's wearing a dress like that doesn't want to fucking walk out on a patio and eat fucking packaged food from a plastic
fish
cup.
And chips, no less.
Oh.
Fish and chips, no
fish
less.
Fish and fucking chips.
Which was probably cold at that point.
Oh, y'all, those French fries tasted horrible.
I know. That made me sad, actually. To have to eat cold French fries is a crime.
Because they don't have an oven to heat it up.
So, shall we go ahead and get into the...
Yeah, because they walk out to dinner, and Lindsay is already like, what the fuck?
Right. Before we do this, I want to talk about one thing. I don't know if anybody saw this, because you were probably fast-forwarding to the commercials. There was a commercial for Paragard birth control, and a woman was singing, Paragard, the one and only birth control I've needed my real life.
Really?
It was a full-on musical number with people dancing. And I'm like, great, normalize birth control. It was just so weird, because usually birth control is handled so earnestly.
Yes.
I was dying. And they were like, Paragard. And they all spelled out the word Paragard.
Really?
I think it's an IUD. They're like, this is the birth control I needed and nothing that I want and everything I wanted. It's Paragard. It's like an ad that we would do for Paragard.
Wow, it is an IUD.
Yeah, I think it's an IUD. But it was just, y'all, you can Google the Paragard commercial. This girl's living her best life. She's so excited about
it. Oh, my God.
It felt like a musical. No hormones. I can pronounce. I'm not protected. Birth control that works differently.
Finally. Paragard is a 100% hormone-free IUD that prevents pregnancy for up to 10 years using one simple active ingredient, copper, instead of hormones. Don't use if you have a pelvic infection.
Keep going. This is so good. I love how the music is continuing behind.
I like that she's dancing and like bouncing with the IUD in her hand.
Pregnancy is rare, but can be life-threatening. I'm like, normalize it, yes. Loss of pregnancy. At first, periods may become heavier. And now she's just dancing as we're hearing about loss of hair. In a birth control. I can just live my life just like before. Ask your
healthcare provider. Wow. No, but you remembered the product.
I did.
If someone says, hey, Jake, do you know a good IUD?
Have you tried Paragard?
Maybe they should sponsor the show.
I would totally do
a commercial for
Paragard.
We would sing their jingle at the end.
Paragard.
And Poodle would say, I tried this IUD and I did not get pregnant.
And nothing happened.
There you go.
I'm not making fun of birth control. I've just never seen a full musical number with dancing.
I kind of appreciate it, although the dancing was not great.
No, and the lyrics weren't either.
No. Wow.
Shit, I'm sorry. I just needed to bring that up.
No, that's fine. All right. Can we talk about the dinner now?
They may sue us.
They may. So the dinner, you know what?
Uh-oh.
I think you inspired me. I think instead of us just fully talking about the dinner, I think this would be better said in something we like to call reality gaze theater.
Good. You can do it when you do harmonies. That's exactly right.
Great.
Yay.
Great. The melody was a little long. So, all right. Okay. So, y'all, Poodle, hold on. I got to get situated. Poodle's going to be playing the role of his award-winning role he's played before of,
where's my sandwich?
How many sandwiches have you made for me?
It kind of would have been apropos if he had made her dinner and made her a sandwich.
Oh, my. He should totally, as like a troll, send her like a sub sandwich in the mail.
He should.
Oh, my God.
He should. So Poodle's going to be playing the role of Lindsay. I'll be playing the role of Steven. And see.
Oh, so, it's so nice.
You like it, babe?
It's nice.
Do you want to play it? Oh, dude, would you like a glass of wine? I've got some Kate Crawford.
Yeah, Kate Crawford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Great. Okay.
Great. Great.
I just want to, you know, I adore you, and I want to make an effort and try to adore you.
Yeah.
And nothing says that like fish and chips, and cold French fries.
Yeah. Looks delicious.
Do you appreciate this dinner?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah.
You like it?
It's
just like, are you? I want you to be happy. It seems like you're not happy. Are you?
I'm happy.
Are you not happy?
I'm happy.
Why is your voice going up like that?
I'm happy.
Okay.
I mean, I kind of want to know.
Yeah. Yeah, babe. You're gorgeous.
What does this date timeline mean to you? What does this dinner mean to you?
Huh?
I mean,
am I not?
I guess, I mean, it's fish and chips, Steven.
Wait, am I not getting laid now?
It's just that I have higher expectations than just going through the motions.
Wait, you wanted to be like on a platform for dinner?
I mean,
like you wanted to be higher up?
That'd be nice.
Like a view?
I would need a view.
What do you mean?
I would prefer if I had a flyover from an F-16.
Wait, so
the Blue Angels?
So you wanted dinner on a plane when you said higher expectations?
I would prefer anything.
I didn't know
you're
you
not understanding, Stephen.
What am I not understanding?
I'm telling you everything. I told you everything. You know what?
I'm romantic. I'm being romantic. This is me being romantic.
So it's my fault.
What?
It's all my fault. It's all my fault.
No.
So I'm not allowed to speak.
I'm not allowed to speak now. What happened? I don't know what's happening.
I'm gonna ruin you.
Wait. So we're not gonna have sex?
And scene. Y'all, whoa. This was uncomfortable from minute one.
It was.
She was trying to figure out. She's like, don't be a bitch. Don't be a bitch. Don't be a bitch.
She was really trying to say, and she just couldn't hold it in.
She went, but.
Do you think she was right for saying something? Or do you think it was.
This is hard. This is hard because you want to validate someone for their experience, especially at the dinner. And maybe you let it happen and then collect your thoughts and bring it up to them the next day.
Yes, I agree with that. And
I don't think that's Lindsay, though.
I think Lindsay, and think about the theme of what they've been fighting about, why they're all there.
Yeah.
So I can see why this, I think.
This is him trying to make an effort, I think.
Danny said it best when Danny said, this night.
Danielle.
Danielle.
Okay.
When Danielle said, this night is the Hail Mary for their relationship.
It is.
And neither of them knew that, but it right. was. And Stevens was totally blindsided. And she says, Danielle says, this is, Lindsay finally learned what all of us have known. They're not right for one another.
They're not. And it's I'm sure he's a nice enough guy. They're not a match.
They're not a match. And she even goes and cries to Stephen or to Danielle, and she's like, now, Lindsay is very dramatic.
I told him everything he needed to know.
Does it ever matter how I feel and what I need? And I'm like, Lindsay, I think it always matters. It always matters. Just ask everybody in the house.
And I must say, though, What you see is what you get with her. She's not being like, I just like little things.
She's not passive aggressive.
No.
She's not two-faced.
No.
You know exactly who she is. And if you don't get that.
You know what she needs? She needs a rich guy in probably his late 40s, but still hot, because she's going to need that. Who can bang her, who can... Who's got enough money? Who still wants to have kids? That's what she needs. I don't know. I think she feels like she has to compete with women who are younger than she is.
Oh, for sure.
So that's
going to
be. I think that's going to make it harder to date older guys. But you know,
it's not going to get better because Steven doesn't handle it, and y'all. I don't know if he just leaves.
He just calls an Uber, y'all, and pieces out.
And I don't know if. She knows that he left.
No, I don't think so either.
And y'all,
it's going to get really ugly.
It's going to get really ugly.
Speaking
of really ugly,
how Amanda's argument.
Let's talk about Hannah and Amanda.
Y'all, we watched probably. They may be okay. This is not. Maybe it's a little spoilery, but when we interviewed Hannah and Paige. They seem to be on good terms with Amanda now.
Yes.
So it seems like things were repaired.
It does not seem like they like Kyle, or especially Hannah. And I think that.
No.
I think Amanda says this the next, but I think a lot of this has nothing to do with Amanda. I think it's just.
It is.
Hannah wants to take Kyle down.
And Amanda, because Amanda, this is the man she has chosen. That every time they criticize him and put him down, that is a reflection on her,
yes.
Amanda. And I actually completely understand. Hannah took it too far in saying that about Amanda. about that kind of...
It's like Paige said, she's taking no responsibility for this.
Now, the fact that she's taking no responsibility about what she said, and she should have apologized to Amanda right away. But I think the idea of her throwing the glass and then them jumping all over Hannah, Hannah's very defensive.
Hannah's very sensitive.
Yeah. And so as soon as you, she shut down and she's going to be all emotion, she can't negotiate at all.
At all. Because when Amanda goes in there, you know, Hannah says, ends up screaming later saying, she never apologized to me. That's not true. Amanda did apologize for throwing the glass.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I'm sorry. That was, and then that's kind of what started everything is she apologized for that. And Hannah was like, yeah, that was really crazy.
Yeah.
And then Amanda's kind of waiting for Hannah to apologize.
Right.
And Hannah's, it's almost like, I feel like, I kind of went through this a little bit. Like, whenever I realized I'd been overgiving and overgiving and overgiving to kind of balance the pendulum, I swung over to where if people are really like, hey, Matt, could you pass me the salt? And I'd be like, do it your fucking self!
You're welcome.
But I'm just saying...
That I helped you with that.
You did. And then till it backfired you, and then I didn't do shit for you either.
Yeah, that wasn't helpful.
I wouldn't fold your clothes. But you know how the pendulum had... I feel like Hannah's having that moment of...
Yeah.
She's felt taken advantage of by people, and all of this has come up. So
you
now
mean Amanda?
No.
Or Hannah. Okay.
Hannah's felt like she's been taken advantage of by people, and now it's swung the other way with Luke. And with this,
right.
And she's like... I'm not going to be stepped on anymore.
Yeah.
And
that's a good point.
I think Amanda's getting caught in that.
I think the other thing they're talking about, she even says, I'm over this friendship when they're fighting.
I'm like, this was really.
Yeah.
I feel like that was taking it too extreme.
I think it felt to me like this was a little bit too for the cameras.
Possibly.
It felt a little, Hannah was less emotional at this point. So it felt like it was kind of like invented.
I mean, maybe. Amanda, though, seemed
she
nothing but emotion.
She lost it.
She seemed nothing but emotion. Even Paige is like, I don't want to take sides.
And Paige says, no, don't say that. And that's the first time I've ever heard Paige say anything about
say
Hannah.
Anything that she said Hannah. She even said to Hannah. She was like, Hannah, calm down. Yeah.
Yeah.
She even said, Hannah's going to kill me. But I'm kind of team Amanda on this one.
And she said, Amanda says, let's stop being friends. And then Amanda says, everyone has so much shit against you. I'm your only defender. This is also Amanda's issue of having to go to bat for everyone.
I think both things, past things are coming up.
And Amanda brought up that she did not, she's like, and it sounds so high school, but you didn't tell me you'd made up with Luke.
But
that's a big deal for Amanda.
But like I said, I'm Amanda.
I was the one
that would have taken up. I would have done that. So, but, you know, Amanda has to realize Hannah never asked Amanda to take up for her.
Yeah.
Amanda just stepped into that role. So Hannah doesn't have to apologize for that.
Hannah's glad to let her do that, though.
Yeah.
And then she screams, get out of my room, which is, that's not good. That was the bridge too far for me. And so I don't know how this is going to work. But the only other thing that happened is when Luke and Sierra.
I was about to say, and y'all, Sierra dropped Luke like a bag of hot potatoes, and it was glorious.
Thank God. I wanted to get up and cheer for her.
I did too.
I decided that I revile Luke more than almost any other man on any other reality show. He's just, you can see his everything, all his actions are so transparent and transactional to get with a girl, and he's trying to play the sensitive guy card. Like, I think, as I said on Twitter, no fruitful conversation can be had with men wearing fedoras.
He puts that fedora on again, thinking he's going to get to Sierra, and she's like, nope.
You're going to get lines. I think I said also, a guy wearing a fedora is either going to try to bang you, or he's going to invite you to come see his band and then bang you.
Or sell you a cologne because he's broke.
True. Or it's something off his jewelry line.
Yeah.
Hockey player / jewelry maker. So basically says to Sierra, he gives her those flowers. He says, yeah, I just don't know how you feel about like us kind of like, you know, getting together. And it's so cheesy. And she's like, yeah, like, I think I want to continue being friends.
I'm
like,
good.
Oh, okay.
Because,
and I guarantee you, he's rarely been broken up with by girls.
He's rarely been broken up with. So he,
this killed him.
It is. It killed him.
And he even said earlier, you know, growing up, I never had any problems getting girls. So I hate this guy. I would hate fuck him.
I was going to say, but you would let him fuck you.
You know what? I would think about it.
Really? Okay.
Right now, I wouldn't.
Close your eyes.
I don't want to close my eyes.
Close your eyes. Now, imagine you're in a bar. He's wearing that fedora. He buys like a.
Do I know what he's like? Do I know what he's like already?
Yeah.
Ugh.
You're in a bar. He buys like a whiskey for himself. Buys you like a gin and tonic, or a vodka tonic. You're sitting there talking, and then he does smell good, and then his leg kind of touches your leg.
This is not fair.
He puts his hand just kind of on the. Right on the top of your inner thigh, and just kind of starts to rub a little bit.
I'd blow him in the bathroom.
Okay.
In a
second.
There
we are.
Probably then get an Uber and then start actually having sex in the Uber.
Yeah.
All while looking at the driver in the eye. who's like in the rearview mirror. I'm like, yeah, look what I'm doing in the back of your car. Yes, I'm doing it.
Y'all, that's the show. That's the
we
show,
leave you
everybody.
With that image that's... of me making eye contact with my Uber driver while Luke is fucking me.
Y'all, that's Reality Gaze. You can find, listen to our other shows
that's
at realitygazepodcast.com.
I think I need to talk to someone.
I think you do too. You can find us on Cameo. You can get a cameo from Jake and I right now. You can also get us on Twitter and Instagram. Instagram's Reality Gaze
and
Podcast.
And I'm just nodding my head like this like when I'm looking at him.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, look at me. I'm getting in the back of your car.
Twitter.
You're going to have to clean this too.
You can find us at Reality Gaze Pod. Y'all, that's the show.
What was the sign-off for this?
We don't have one for this, so... Summer's here, we're queer, and we'll see you later.
Fuck off.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.